Yes,
Boudiri.
this
Hi.
is. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you for calling early. This is not live.
Okay, great.
So we air from 11 to noon weekdays in Champaign-Urbana, Bloomington, DeKalb, Peoria, and Springfield. Okay, yeah, that was all of our
Okay,
stations. I was
great.
just trying to go through. I was like, did I just say all the stations? I did.
Yeah, no, that's
So
great.
probably
I'm
NIJ,
glad, happy to
actually.
be on.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so the way we're doing this in the interest of fairness is we're recording all of them so no one can know because we're trying to ask mostly the same questions. And then we're just going to air them
Sure.
all after everything's recorded.
Okay,
So
sounds
we're in
fair.
the process of doing attorney general. We're airing all the attorney general's interviews now. So those are those 10. And then we will get to governor interviews. Okay.
Okay, sounds
So,
great.
yeah, so we're probably not going to air this for another week or two, just so you know.
Okay, good.
Okay. So I'm just going to read the introduction that I'm going to read for you, and then we'll have no more than 15 minutes.
Okay,
Thank
sounds good.
you. Jeanne Ives is a state representative from Illinois's 42nd House District, which includes Wheaton, where she's lived for 26 years. She's been in office for 3 terms. She also served on Wheaton City Council, a graduate of West Point. She also served in the Army. She's challenging Governor Bruce Rauner for the Republican nomination. Representative Ives, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with me.
Well, thank you for having me on.
We know that Illinois, you know that Illinois went more than 2 years without having a full budget, and many think that the most vulnerable people in our state have been hit hard and in many ways are still recovering from that. Why should voters entrust you with helping to make sure that doesn't happen ever again?
Well, I promise to, first of all, submit a balanced budget that makes sure that we spend within our means and not a dime more. And that is something that Governor Rauner failed to do. And it is, and also listeners should be very wary because all the Democrats are asking for is more taxes to spend more money. We will not be doing that in my administration.
I did want to ask you about taxes. That's obviously been a prominent issue in the past few years. Last year, we saw the individual income tax rate go from 3.75% to 4.95%. The corporate tax rate went up to 7%. Let's start with the personal income tax rate. You've said you would rescind this. How would you do that with a democratically controlled legislature?
Well, I actually never said that I would rescind it immediately because I know that I need legislative buy-in. So I'm the one candidate who is not being dishonest about that. And so what I plan to do is budget down to the level where we can prove up to folks that we can live within our means at a lower level. And the only way we're going to do that, though, is get the reforms in that we need so we can expand the tax base.
And when you say lower level, what are you thinking about?
I'd like to take it back to the 3% level. And I'd like to eventually, over time, eliminate the corporate income tax.
And what about property taxes?
Property taxes are a huge issue. It's a bigger problem than our state income taxes, quite frankly, because right now it's confiscatory. The South Suburban Cook area has been decimated by high tax rates, and people are losing their homes. Government cannot afford to continue along the same path because their residents are leaving. So property taxes don't need to be frozen at the highest levels. They need to be lowered substantially over time. We'd like to cap them as Indiana does, but we have to have the reforms in order to do it. And if we don't do it, you're going to continue to see people flee the state of Illinois over their property taxes. That's why people are leaving. That's why over 100,000 people left the state of Illinois last year, and with them walked nearly $5 billion in income. We have to control property taxes. You are stealing people's property from them. They are literally renting their homes from their superintendents.
And what do you think about retirement income?
Taxing retirement income?
Correct. Yeah. Should retirement income
I'm
be?
not in favor. No, I'm not in favor of any new taxes in the state of Illinois at this time until we control our budget and control our spending. If you want to talk about realigning our tax system, I'm very much open to that. I would prefer to have taxes on consumption rather than income. But if we were to do that right now without any other changes and just decide to enact a tax on retirement income with, I'm talking no other changes, all that's going to happen is our retirees will leave the state of Illinois. And we can't afford anybody to leave the state of Illinois. That said, we have a number of public pensioners that are retiring still in their mid to late 50s, making six-figure pensions and not paying a dime in income tax on that. There's a mechanism where we need to correct that as well. I would agree, but it's got to be looked at holistically, and it can't be just done as a standalone one thing.
So let's talk about that holistically for a moment. As you're talking about the plan, as you well know, Illinois has incredible balances and pension obligations. Where would you cut in the budget to afford to, first of all, create a balanced budget and still be able to fulfill all of the current fiscal and future financial obligations?
We would look for reform, large and small. Anybody who says, well, we're going to, you know, cut a few jobs here or, you know, get a better price on paper is kidding themselves if they think they can balance their budget doing that way. Everything in the state of Illinois has to be a big reform agenda. Look, the state is bankrupt. It owes over $250 billion in pension and debt obligations. It's the worst-run state in the union. It's got the worst credit rating by a long shot. When it goes out to borrow, it has borrowing costs that are three times worse than the next worst state. We're an outlier in so many ways. None of this is going to be done with a massive tax increase or with cutting small parts of government. You have to literally reform how we do business in every aspect. And so what I want to do is tackle pension reform first and foremost. And the easiest thing to get across that would signal to the bond community, would signal to the business community, would signal to residents who are being punished by paying for everybody else's pension but their own. The biggest thing you can do is tell people we're not going to dig the hole deeper. And you do that by putting all new hires into a 401k style program. That would send a strong signal that we're finally going to arrest our problems.
Representative Ives, as you mention all of these things, we've also been asking our listeners to chime in via social media with questions they want to ask. And we got a question from Reddit that I imagine is on the mind of many people in our state. And I'm thinking about it as you're talking about all of these things that you'd like to accomplish. How do you plan to work, whether that's across the aisle with Democrats or within your own party, to make sure that things actually get done?
I've already done that. So I'm one of the few of the candidates that has actually been down in Springfield and worked with folks that are going to have to help pass the legislation that we need to fix Illinois. So I've already been successful in working with colleagues on both sides of the aisle to pass reform measures. I know where they stand on issues, and I know what their districts want from them in return. So I can build the coalitions because I understand them much better than our sitting governor, quite frankly, and most of the Democrat candidates. So having an understanding of how to build the coalitions to get the reform across is super important, as well as the fact of what my colleagues would say about me is that you know where I stand. So you know that I can be trusted when I say I'm going to do what I want to do and will give my word on particular legislation. Unlike our current governor Bruce Rauner, who basically lied to members of our caucus, lied to Cardinal Supich, and then said he's not in charge. Dramatically different approaches to how we would get legislation through.
You mentioned Cardinal Supich. I wanted to ask you about one of the most controversial issues that Governor Rauner faced last year, and that's HB 40. Just a reminder for our audience, that's the bill that would cover abortions for Medicaid recipients and state workers. It would also keep abortions legal in Illinois should Roe versus Wade be overturned. Was that for you the turning point in why you decided to run?
That was the turning point for everybody else who called me after he signed it and said somebody needs to run against him and we'd like you to do it. I had a number of phone calls from people around the state asking me to challenge Governor Rauner. And for me, it was definitely one of the tipping points. But look, I lost confidence in that guy about a year prior to that when he signed on to a huge, massive bailout of a multi-billion-dollar profitable public utility company. And then I lost confidence when he bailed out Chicago Public Schools with taxpayer money statewide. And then I lost confidence when he enacted legislation requiring pro-life pregnancy centers to refer for abortion. But yes, the taxpayer funding of abortion is a majority position of folks polled, including Democrats, say taxpayers should not pay for it. So Governor Rauner is the person who's on the fringe, who doesn't respect taxpayer money. And so nobody should start a brand new open-ended entitlement program in a state that is bankrupt. And that's what he did. And then he lied about it on top of it. So there's been one betrayal after another by that Governor Rauner, and nobody trusts him. It's universal. In my caucus, in the Democrat caucus, in the media, nobody trusts his word.
Representative Ives, another issue you've been very vocal on is in immigration. Do you think state resources should be used to help enforce federal immigration law when it comes to detention and deportation?
I think we should have a spirit of cooperation between federal, local, and state law enforcement. And Governor Rauner signed his signature on SB 31, which made us a sanctuary state, totally abolished that notion. He made us all less safe. We can now not get justice when criminal illegal aliens commit crimes in the state of Illinois. They can post off of a detainer, leave the system, and escape across Mexico to Mexico, which is exactly what happened in the case of Dennis McCann, whose brother Brian is still awaiting justice for his brother who was killed by a criminal illegal immigrant in Cook County. So, look, it's not me saying that we're a sanctuary state. It's the Department of Justice of the federal government sending a letter to the state of Illinois and saying, you prove you're not a sanctuary state because we think you are.
So Representative Ives, can I
have a lot to answer to?
Yeah, well, but the Trust Act was something that law enforcement, that people worked with law enforcement on. So do you think that law enforcement also made a mistake in signing on to the Trust Act? Because that was something that they helped write in Illinois.
Here's what's interesting. I actually understand how the game is played down in Springfield, and most of your listeners probably don't. But what happens is that some of these associations get bullied into taking a position or not, or a bill gets worked down from many pages down to a few pages, and then people say, well, the bill's been worked. It must be great. It must be fine now. Nothing could be further than the truth. When I talk to individual law enforcement officers, when I talk to colleagues of mine who are actual law enforcement officers serving as state representatives, when I talk to them, they tell you they believe it's a sanctuary state bill and that it makes us less safe and it makes it less safe for them to do their job. That's what they say about that bill. So, sure, there's probably some associations that negotiated the bill, but they negotiated down from a terrible bill, an atrocious bill, down to a bill that still made us a sanctuary state. And they took what they thought they could get. But the truth is, individual law enforcement officers feel less safe under SB 31.
We just have a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you very quickly about education. The overhaul, the historic school funding reform that happened last year. Illinois has the most inequitable funding system in the country for funding K-12 school funding. Why did you vote against the overhaul? And I wonder, did you also support Governor Rauner's amendatory veto that was recently also overridden?
I did not vote to override it, but I did not support the first bill at all. Absolutely not. There's nothing that in there that's going to make education funding more equitable. That is a farce. First of all, we don't have the $3.5 billion over 10 years that it's going to take, that the bill requires to fund. And the minute we don't spend $350 million a year, it's the minute that Chicago gets the preponderance of the education dollars. That did nothing to ensure equity of funding, and it did nothing about accountability. In fact, it locked in the most inequitable system of funding public education because it held everybody harmless. And every school district gets now the same amount of money they got last year, regardless of student population moving, regardless of property values fluctuating. It did nothing. It locked in the unfair system. That's what it did, and people don't realize it. It locked it in for the future. The unfair system they had before is now locked in. And then any new money, only new money is distributed through this new formula, which still doesn't give you the equity that you want, and it doesn't account for anybody who's doing more with less and giving them and plussing them up, which it should be that the case. It should be done on a merit base.
Representative
We're not
Ives,
doing that.
yeah, we just
Nothing
have
was solved.
right. We just have a minute left, so I just want to ask you very quickly
Okay.
why you want to be governor.
Because I know what's going on down there. I understand that the desperation of Illinois taxpayers gamed in a system that they can't control. And I'm the only one with the right ideas to move the state forward. I'm the only one who's going to be honest with the taxpayers about finally solving our problems.
Really quickly, Representative Ives, do you have a favorite place to visit in Illinois?
Do I have a favorite place to visit? I love visiting Cantini. It's the homestead of Colonel Robert McCormick. It's where the 1st Division Museum is. It's where his home is there, and it's turned into a public space that's absolutely beautiful, and it's a tribute to the military.
Jeannie Ives is a state representative. She represents Illinois' 42nd House District, which includes Wheaton, where she lives. She's been in office for 3 terms. She also served on Wheaton City Council, a graduate of West Point. She also served in the Army and is challenging Governor Bruce Rauner for the Republican nomination. Representative Ives, thanks for being with me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we will be in touch. Alan will be in touch with... Is she gone? Okay.